especially, Lord. Thank you for everything you do for us. It's because of prayer. Amen.
Yeah. Before we get started, anybody have any questions about the ordination next weekend? Be probably just like the last one, hopefully a little shorter with one person, but anybody got any questions before we get going there? Yes?
You can give me all the questions beforehand.
Talk to Brother Sean. He already has a whole bunch. And he could use some gas money. All right. Nobody has a question? Okay. Open your Bibles to 1 Timothy. We're doing Bible analysis. And everybody remember, I'm using the book, but I'm not going to sit up here and go through the book. And I would rather just look just at topics in the scripture. But what is Bible analysis? What's the concept behind that? What's it mean? What are we doing? Okay, rightly dividing. Basically, you're tearing something apart and putting it back together. And so that's what we're going to do. We're going to do 2 Peter right now. I do not, and so if this is your thing and you like doing this and your preferred method, that's fine. It just doesn't really work for me. I don't like doing whole books and just going through them. Except I like it for 2 Peter and I like it for the book of Hebrews. That's kind of how I teach those things. But we are going to do that. We're going to go through all of 2 Peter. There's a lot of information in 2 Peter, a lot of things that apply to a New Testament church. It deals with problems within a New Testament church, warning of false teachers, and how to promote, or these false teachers that promote things against scripturality, and so we're going to try to look at some of those. We have a tendency, and I'm the same way, we have a tendency to just read through things really quick because we've got a task that we're trying to accomplish. But in here, when we go through this, we're going to go slow. We're going to just look at words. We're going to look at just a couple phrases as we go through here. I'm hoping not to take forever to do this. I really like to do a chapter a weekend. That's my goal. And so we're going to start off 2 Timothy chapter 2 or verse 4. If you have any questions you need to ask, you need to speak up. It's important to understand what the concept that God has for us. If you understand the concept that God has for us, some of the things we're going to cover in 2 Peter make a little bit more sense. So 2 Timothy chapter 2, actually we're going to start in verse 3. It says, "For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior." So what's acceptable? What's acceptable? We all have levels of what we consider acceptable on different things. Is that right? So whose car is on E right now? If your car is on E, raise your hand. If your car is barely above E, raise your hand. Okay, all right. So why would you do that? Okay, so is that's your acceptable level. Is that right?
Yep.
Okay, so we have other things that are acceptable. What'd you have for dinner? Anybody cook dinner tonight?
No.
This Victoria, you cook dinner tonight?
No, not tonight.
No? All right. Nobody cooked dinner tonight?
Jack's cooked dinner.
What's that?
Jack's cooked dinner.
Okay. Sometimes when we cook dinner, we got to have a vegetable, we got to have this, and we got to have that, or we can't have that. Okay? If you're that way, and you came to our house and you only had two of those things, would that be acceptable? Well, it might be because it's at my house. But at your house, you got to have this, okay? That make a little sense?
Yes. Organized camp trailer. That's acceptable.
Oh, yeah.
For?
Chaos or order?
He's not saying anything.
Enough said. Moving on. You can find stuff, or you just go buy a new one because you don't know where it is.
There you go.
Okay. All right, and then I found it. So now I got three of them. All right, so for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God. So there are a lot of things that you and I consider that we're okay with. We have different levels of things. We make jokes, you know. I've gotten Brother Ryan struck one time. I hate a dirty windshield. It just drives me nuts for my windshield to be dirty. You know, and you got to look through that film, and I hate that. And so I got into Brother Ryan's truck one time. We were going somewhere, and he goes, I told the kids they had to clean the windshield because the windshield Nazi was coming. Now, I really, when I'm in somebody else's vehicle, and I'm looking out the windshield, and it just drives me nuts. I try not to say anything because we all have different levels of acceptability. And you can ask my wife lots of times, I'm like, you know, I'm making her clean on her side because it drives me nuts. So we have, and we, you know, our OCDs and all these other things. We make joke about these things because there are certain things that are acceptable to us and not acceptable. Well, in the case we're looking at, we're not talking about what's acceptable to Missionary Baptist. We're not talking about what's acceptable to the Albany Church or another church or me as a person. We're talking about what's acceptable to God. So this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. So this is what God wants. This is this thing that God wants. Who will have all men to be saved? So what does God want? Is that very hard? We've had a guy that's a Calvinist visit the church recently, and I've shared with him some of these simple verses that we read, and he's struggling with these things. What's God's will? God's will is that all men be saved. That's what God wants. He wants everybody saved. And that's not all that he wants. And come into knowledge of the truth. So God wants you saved and come to knowledge of the truth. So just the last class, we were, you know, talking and focusing on evangelism, and that's important because people need to, it's good that men come to the knowledge of truth, but then what does God want you to do after you come to the knowledge of truth? Or actually you get saved. What's he want? You to come to that knowledge of truth, okay? So how does that happen? Okay, study. Somebody said study. What else?
Bible studies.
What's that?
Bible studies.
Okay, yeah. What else?
Going to church.
Yeah, you got to go to church, you know.
Somebody has to invest their time.
Probably somebody has to help you out, getting started and all that. Anything else?
Prayer.
Prayer, okay. Anything else? How about you wanting to change?
Yeah.
Because sometimes people don't want to change. Mm-hmm. You know, they got saved, they want to, you know, anything else. I've known one person for sure I could say this about, and I'm questioning whether or not this is going to be the case for this other person. So I've dealt with people, one that I'm thinking about in particular, for like 5 years doing Bible studies, not sure they're saved. And they used to go to church camp, they loved going up there, and they're always searching whether they're saved. Well, then they figured out they were saved. So they've been coming faithfully to the church every service, Bible studies, going to camp for 5 years. Never joined. Figured out they're saved. Quit coming a month later. Why?
Commitment.
Now they realize, oh, I know I'm saved. Now, what's the other part that God wants me to do? He wants me to start coming to knowledge of the truth. He wants me to change. And they didn't want to change. And so something you got to be willing to change. So God wants us to be saved and come and know that you look over here in 3:15. I know these are very common verses, and I personally use these all the time. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou ought to behave thyself in the house of God. Is there a way for us to be? Yes. What will happen if you have a church that doesn't know what it's to be? What happens to them?
They fall away.
Okay, so I'm looking around this room. The Shrum's got two kids, okay? The Newtons are in production. You know, Sister Tessa had Brother Alex had one, Brother Cameron has one, Brother Jacob has four. I'm talking little guys. You got two. How many you got now?
Well, right now, 4.5.
Okay, so they're holding, okay? So there's a lot of kids in here. What happens if they don't teach those kids? What it means to come to all the truth. What's going to happen? What's going to happen in the next decade Lord Terry's is coming? They're gone. They are gone. And so that, will that infect church bodies? Yes. That's another reason how a church gives in the hundreds and then they're down to two people. because they didn't come to the knowledge of the truth. And so God wants us to be saved, come to the knowledge of truth, and he goes on that we might know how to behave in the house of God, which is the church of the living God and pillar and ground of truth. The only place on this earth that man can do this, that we're going to look about in 2 Peter, is a New Testament church. You can't do this on your own. Nobody can do this on your own. It's the only place that we're, as we're going to start reading here in 2 Peter, that man can achieve what's acceptable to God is in a New Testament church. You can't do it on your own. You can't do it not going to church. You can't do it not being saved. You can't do it without being a faithful New Testament church member. Can't do it. It's an impossibility. You will never grow. Nobody will ever grow to what God wants them not following this recipe that God has. Okay? Comments, questions, anybody sleep? All right, let's go down here to 2 Peter now. We'll just start going through here. And by the way, if you have not gone through and just read the book of Hebrews, just verse by verse, you're missing a lot. There's a lot of stuff there. I don't know. I'm sure everybody's read here in 2 Peter, but if you've not done it, maybe the way we're going to try to do it tonight, encourage you to maybe do that. I've been trying to make myself study this way that we're going to go through this. I've been trying to do it the last couple of years, and it's kind of cool. You see some things every once in a while. You're like, how did I miss that for all this time? Well, I think God just kind of, you slow down a little bit, and God kind of helps us to see a few things. Simon Peter, tell me about him.
Apostle,
what else? Walked on water. Okay, what else?
Struggled with his faith.
What's that?
He struggled with his faith.
Okay, he had some struggles. Okay. What? Anything else? What's that? Okay. Anything else? What's that?
Wrote some books in the Bible.
Okay, wrote some books in the Bible. How about one more? Is there one more thing that maybe he did? Okay, yeah. What else? What did he do in Acts 15?
He was wrong.
He was wrong. Okay? And what did that cause? Cause problems. Cause issues. Okay? Did he? So is something that I think we all can learn something from. So we have Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ. So we know the introduction. We know who we're talking about. Know a little bit about him. And the Bible says he's an apostle of Jesus Christ to them. So now we know who the writer is. Now let's find out who this is to. To them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. So now we're finding out who this letter is going to be addressed to. Them that have obtained like precious faith. So who would that be?
Not just salvation.
Okay.
I think that's where you're going.
Yep.
We're talking about church members. Right?
Yep.
Because I think you run across it. A lot of people think that faith is simply those who are saved. No.
There's
a lot more to that.
What is God's plan that God has for us? So, is this letter addressed to just somebody that's saved? Can somebody that's just saved get something out of this? Yes. And maybe their eyes get open, the comforter works with them, and they get on the right path that God would have. But God has a plan. God's plan all men be saved and come to the knowledge of truth. There's a couple key phrases, and one of the key phrases that I kind of think is really important to keep in mind as we read here in 2 Peter is Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I'm going to say in our Lord, but it's Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I think that's a very important phrase as we go through here in 2 Peter. So we're talking about those that have obtained like faith, precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace. What is the number one thing that people look for in life? That and especially as you get a little older.
Peace.
You want peace. Okay, and so what do we try to do? Well, we try to find peace with the marriage. We try to work and be a better husband and better wife and all that. That's good. You know, we can work on those things. And sometimes we get a little older, we realize, you know, we can change some of those things. We try to change the job. We try to find a job. Maybe take some stress out of our life and things like that. We start looking for different things. Maybe we move. Maybe we downsize things and all this kind of stuff. But this is what peace brings. Okay, I'm not going to say those things may not help you. But they are all a temporary solution. Because God's going to tell us about grace and peace. Be multiplied unto you. What's multiplied? What is that?
More.
More.
Abundance.
Abundance. And in fact, the word abundance is going to be used here in a little bit. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ our Lord. How's this going to happen? How am I going to find this grace and this peace so that when the job isn't going so great, or there's issues at home, or there's issues with kids, and I got to work on those things, or I want to throw in the towel, or we suffer a loss, or you feel like you're by yourself, you know, that nobody cares. What's going to help you and get you through that next phrase? How about this? Grace and peace be multiplied unto you. This is what we got to start. This is where Peter's starting at. And think about Peter. Peter was an apostle. He walked with God. He got out of the boat and walked on water, and nobody else did. And then, not very long later, short time, couple of years maybe, he actually changed the way he talked to deny that he knew God. That's what kind of man he was. He was a man that became a people pleaser apparently at one point of his life because he didn't stand up to when the problems started coming in that Jerusalem church. So he just kind of tried to let that go away. Okay, that's that guy. And then we're reading about him here, and we've seen how bold and confident he is as he's preparing. And as you read here, I think he's preparing for the end of his life also. And he's trying to leave a few things here. Pick up in verse 3. According as his divine power. So what's divine? When you read those words, what do you think of? God. Now, the reason, say, well, I know all these things. But when you read and study by yourself, do you do this? Divine. What is that? That's not a word. That word actually means, has a powerful meaning. According as his divine power hath given unto us. So, I want to keep this in mind. Divine power. What does that mean? What does that short phrase coming up with?
Godly
power. Okay, where's this power coming from? God. So can I make some changes in my life and achieve what we're going to read about? Nope. You can't change your life. A person can't change their life and achieve what we're going to read about. It's not going to happen. You can't change your life and find this grace and peace. So if you're in your life right now, and I'm, you know, maybe you're saved, you're a member of New Testament Church, and you're not finding grace and peace. You're finding some type of turmoil going on in your life, uncertainty in your life. You're trying to do it the wrong way. And we have churches full of people trying to do it the wrong way. We have them in Albany. You have them. Every church has them, unfortunately. According as the divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain to the life and godliness to our Lord through the knowledge of him that has called us glory and virtue. So all this is going to happen by divine power through the knowledge of God. So one thing that's not necessarily indicated or said in that verse, but what is the implication? How's this going to happen? Because we need some help. You're going to think in, you know, the big picture that God has. How does God get through to New Testament church members? What's he use? Comforter. This is going to happen through the Comforter. This is not. That's why if I'm not a part of any type of church, okay, God wants me to get to this place. I can't go outside of a church and achieve what we're going to read about. It's an impossibility.
Well, along with that, verse 2 tells us it's through the knowledge. How are you going to gain the knowledge? It's the Comforter.
It's the only way. It's the only way. The only way. You got to study. Yeah, we can study all you want. The Comforter's not helping you. You're just reading. And so he's called us glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceedingly great and precious promises. That's another big long phrase of words that talks about, man, you can't put a price tag on this. There's no amount that you can find an inventory about this, because this is, it's going to be exceedingly great and precious promises. So what precious promises does God make to us? Eternal life. Okay, so another one with eternal life, what's he promise us? What happens when you die? Before you die. What's he promised is going to happen? Okay, what else? Tells us in this in Hebrews. What's that?
I sing the Psalms. He goes with you through the shadow of valley death, or valley.
Takes the fear. He takes the fear. Okay, that's a promise. That's a promise that he makes. That's a pretty big one, right? Does God promise that everything in your life is going to be rosy? But what's he promise you?
Me with you.
I'm with you. Does he promise you that he will provide your needs? We've been looking at putting the Lord first. Putting the Lord first is beyond Matthew 6:33, just, you know, catchphrase words. There's actually some things that we have to do as a New Testament church member to actually put God first. To put God first, he says, I will provide for you. Okay, so do we all have needs? You all have needs, okay? Most of us have had our needs way beyond what our needs are. But God says, I'll provide those for you. Sometimes we think, well, you know, my job is doing it, or, you know, my good investment skills and I'm making good decisions here and all that is doing it for me. Who do you think's helping you with those things? Helping you to make those good decisions? Okay? Who's ever bought a candy bar standing in line at the store? Yeah, we all have. Why'd you buy it? It looked really good. And it was. How satisfying was it? Oh, it was awesome. What happened an hour later? That crash hitch and it just fell off. Okay? Wasn't sustaining. Anything I do outside of God is not going to be sustaining. It's going to be temporary. Whereby given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature. Getting that heavenly nature, be a partaker of it. Have an escape. Now this is where I want to start getting into. Have an escape the corruption that is in the world through lust. So how do I escape that? According to this passage. How am I going to do it? God tells me right here. How am I going to do it? It's not that hard, guys. I'm not asking you trick questions. How do I escape this? Somebody besides Brother Daniel. How am I going to do it? What's that? Being a partaker of the divine nature through the knowledge of God. Is that right? Pretty simple. Who's been depressed? Who has doubted? Mm-hmm. Who has been angry? Who's been envious, jealous? Who's been overwhelmed? Probably throw a few more in there if we haven't hit them. We've all been there. Different things, right? Well, how'd that happen?
Walking in the flesh.
Somewhere plugged into the lust a little bit. You know, and we always think lust, sexual, or money and all those, and yes, but sometimes it's just the world. We just think the world has something to offer us. And so we kind of lean that way a little bit. Well, God is telling you, you're not going to have peace and all these things, but he said, you can overcome this. You can overcome this. I can help you with the corruption that is in the world. He makes that very clear. And I know we have members in Albany that are suffering from depression, some of them severe. And it's really easy for you to say, put the Lord first. And they're like, yeah, I have no idea what you're talking about because I am in such a dark place. I'm in such a mess. Okay? And I believe very simply, you take baby steps. How about you just come to church? How about just come to services? Just come. Oh, that's hard for some people. That's literally a mountain to climb just to do that. Is that right? Driving the other day, I was coming home from Eastern Oregon and was listening to the radio and you know, they're talking about a soldier and they were talking about since last year happened with the withdrawal in Afghanistan, I guess the suicide rate among soldiers is really bad, but it's gone up quite a bit because a lot of them feel what was the price? What was the price for the arm, leg, and my friend? What was the price for you know, the damage that I have suffered physically in my life, and they can't handle it, and so they can't see their family or anything else and get them through that thing. They just end it. And I'm sitting there driving and thinking, I've never been there. I've dealt with people that have been there. And I'm thinking, how easy is it if you have God not to get there, that you realize, okay, that was everything on this earth is a waste. Everything. Everything that's important is heavenly. How do you get that this life on this earth is so overwhelming that I gotta end my life? Because I can't realize it's just garbage. It's just trash. And God has something way better for me. This is where all this starts. So now we're gonna just start adding some things in here. And he says, I partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Remember God's plan. All men be saved and come to know the truth. Tells us that his church is the pillar and ground of the truth. So you can't get this anywhere else. Can't get this anywhere. And I'm not opposed to somebody, you know, if they need to see a doctor and medication. I'm not saying never do any of that. I'm just saying the answer, the real answer, is in God. Besides this, so besides 3 and 4, verse 3 and 4, giving all diligence. What's diligence? So we were hunting the other night, and our phones went off. My phone's on silent, and it just starts buzzing. It's an Amber Alert. What does that mean?
Kid's been missing.
And this actually was a 77-year-old man. And Amber Alert. All alarms go off, and we all ended up getting them. What did they, and they gave a description of the guy in the car and everything else. What did they want? What were they looking for?
Somebody to look.
They wanted you to look. They wanted everybody that was in this area to look for this car and this license plate and everything else. What happens when a kid gets lost? What happens when you lost your purse, your phone? You diligently start looking for these things. Goes on here, besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. And we've hit this, and we've heard messages from it. There's an order to these things. They have to be added in this order. You can't skip 3 and come back and do it later. Besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge. To knowledge temperance. What's temperance? What kind of control? What is it? Self. What made you buy the candy bar at the checkout line?
No temperance.
That's lack of temperance, okay? What causes a person to, when they get angry, to go into the negative side of it? Because getting angry is not the sin. It's what happens after you get angry. What causes the envy to come up? Envy, by the way, I don't, you know, maybe not everybody knows what envy is. Envy is described as the feeling of resentment. It's not that you act on it. It's not that you've done anything. It's all inside of you, and it's how you feel. And God talks about that. So what causes those things to happen? Well, somewhere along the way, you miss some of these things. Virtue, knowledge. To knowledge, temperance. To temperance, patience. Who's patient in here? If your dinner is running late at the restaurant, what do? If you get stuck in traffic, what do? If you're at McDonald's and you're 3 people in line, what do? And then they make you go park in the parking waiting area over there. What starts happening to us? We start getting irritated. Okay, we start going kind of in a bad place. Well, we need some patience in there. And to patience, godliness. Okay, what is godliness? Think about that. What does that word mean?
Like God.
That's exactly what it means. Like God. And isn't it weird that godliness followed patience? You ever thought about that? Because generally, when we're impatient, what are we the opposite of? godly. You've been, who's made you late to church? Anybody ever get late for church because of somebody else? What starts happening in all that? You're already irritated because now you're late. Now, I get it, but think about all the things that were generally right after that were absence of godliness. It goes on here, and to godliness, brotherly kindness to the person that's making you late. That you have no patience for because it's a habitual thing. Start seeing a little pattern that God has going on for us. And to brotherly kindness, charity. Charity is love. Okay? And it's just not, yeah, I love you. It's this deep, convicted love. For these things, now this is what again, we've heard lots and lots of messages on these over the years. For these things be in you. Is it possible for them not to be in you? Okay? If they're, how's it possible for them not to be in you? Okay, you got it. They have to be added. For these things be in you and abound. What's abound? There's lots of them. Lots of it. They make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. So let's go back here. Let's think about being down. Let's think about being angry. Let's think about resentment. Let's think about jealousy. Let's think about unforgiveness. Think about all these things that are things of the flesh. Lust, contribute to lust of the flesh. God says right here in verse 9, the reason that those things are in me is because I'm lacking some stuff. And then it goes on here. He says, lack of these things is blind. What are you blind to?
Knowledge of God.
And so if you're blind to knowledge of God, what else might you be missing? Could you be missing something else?
Peace.
What's that?
Peace.
Okay, peace, grace, yeah. But how about some more? Sometimes.
All the things mentioned in verse 3 and 4.
What's that?
All the things mentioned in verse 3 and 4.
Okay. And sometimes God is standing right there and he's done a lot for us and we don't see it. We don't see the good that God has done, or the doors that God has opened, or the opportunities that God has provided, or the healing that God has done. We don't see any of that. He that lacketh these things, the blind, cannot see afar off, and have forgot that he was purged from his old sins. And you get so far, this is being backslid, you're not sure you're saved. Mm-hmm. Anybody been there? Anybody in this room? Mm-hmm. Yeah? Sometimes that happens. And how'd you get there? Well, I'm lacking some things. I didn't add. These things are not abundant in me. Rather, therefore, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. So remember God's purpose. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. I just can't help it. I'm a man. And we all fall and we stumble sometimes. What does God's word just say right there? You don't have to. We don't have to. And if so, follow this. What is the goal that God wants for all of us? And this is, I think the next one we're going to do, we're going to hit on this one, and that new city, Jerusalem. What does God want you to do? Be saved, come to the knowledge of truth, grace and peace be multiplied in you. What does he want? What does God want for you?
Best.
Want you to be
what
in
is the
bride.
Best?
Be in the bride.
He wants you in the bride. He wants you in the bride. How do I get in the bride? These things are abounding in me. And if they're abounding in me, then the Bible says, I'm not gonna wonder if I'm saved. Then he goes on here and he says, I'll never fall. So I'm not going to fall away from God. I'm not going to fall away from God's will, God's purpose, all these things. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to be seeking the purpose of God, God's will in my life always. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly in the everlasting kingdom of Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He wants you in the bride. Wherefore, I will not be neglect to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them, and be established in the present truth. So Peter's saying, I know you know this stuff, but I'm not going to neglect it. I'm going to tell you about it. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, and he's talking about his physical body here, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. Sometimes we just got to remember what God did for us. You remember when you got saved? Remember when you first sat, you got baptized, maybe the first time you sat in services and you like the little lights started clicking on? Hey? Knowing that shortly I must put off this, my tabernacle, even as the Lord Jesus Christ has showed me. We'll stop right there. He's going to die. Before he dies, basically he's trying to give a little advice, trying to give a little reminder. We don't have to get backslid. We don't have to fall away. We don't have to be resentful. We don't have to be jealous. We don't have to be envious. We don't have to be stale. We don't have to be stagnant. But we have congregations and ourselves. We are that way, way too much. The reason is because stuff is lacking. I'll get to you in a second. My wife, when she was pregnant, made a beautiful cake. Looked awesome. I think it was yellow, if I remember right. Great frosting. And I bit into it. And, you know, sometimes you, like, try to sit down because you don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. Couldn't eat that one. Because somewhere salt and sugar got mixed up. So the cake looked awesome, looked good. The frosting was awesome. But the meat, the ingredients inside the cake got mixed up. Just one ingredient. They looked similar, right? One, they're both white, but one you couldn't eat. Just because we looked something on the outside, congregation looked something on the outside, are we fit? Are we abundant? We have grace. Where are we at in our life? What's, when we close our eyes at night, what's going on? Am I in a position, I was really trying to hammer this the last two services, you can't help somebody. God makes it very clear in Galatians. You can't help somebody if you're not spiritual. We all want to help people, but you can't do it if you're not spiritual.
So,
but Sean?
He said that he's gone to prepare a place for us. And he wouldn't have told us that if there was no way for us to ascertain
there.
It.
Yeah.
Right? And so the only thing in that, you know, with that reason, the only thing that we have to prevent us from getting there is ourselves. Whatever we're dealing with, no matter what our situation is, if we think it's insurmountable, if we can't, you know, find a way out, if we want to be closer to the Lord and we draw closer to the Lord continually, he will work those things out so that we can get there.
And we have to be willing, like, I'm not going to be like this anymore. Mm-hmm. And the only way that happens is through this knowledge of God. Mm-hmm.